Hello and welcome to Behind the Headlines, a chance for us to focus on some of the news stories we've been running on our UK radio stations, which have really got you talking. Today, we're in Bicester following that massive blaze in which two firefighters were killed. We're also looking at what tiny object hospitalised hundreds of children.
He couldn't put her down. She was like, ow, 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 owie, 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 and holding her stomach.
We'll be talking about the so-called EU reset deal, and there was so much sport this weekend, so we'll be having a look back at some of those massive matches. My name is Louise Easton. I'm going to be your host on Monday, the 19th of May 2025, as we go behind the headlines. First up, we're looking at the tiny object which is causing hundreds of children to be admitted to hospital. We probably all have at least one in our house, and it's something which we know can prove dangerous to kids. I'm talking about magnets. In just one year, 300 children across the UK were admitted to A&E, with one in 10 of those needing life-saving operations. It's something that happened to two-year-old Rebecca McCarthy, who was left fighting for her life in 2021. Her mum, Sam, has been taking us through that experience.
Rebecca came up to me while I was working from home, and she was sick. And she just continued to be sick. And then when she got up, my husband picked her up and he couldn't put her down. She was like, ow, 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 owie, 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 and holding her stomach over and over. And I was like, ah, I don't like this. I was like, you know, something's not right. And, you know, she's 22 months old. Her saying owie will be in my head for a very long time. So they examined her. I went behind the screen and, you know, then I was like, oh, they're magnets. And the face has just dropped. He was like, so we are going to need surgery. They said, you know, we do have to advise you that we may have to remove part of her bowel or part of her intestines. She could possibly come out of here with a stoma bag. And I just said to her, I said, just do whatever you need to do to save my baby. And all I did was buy a toy. That was it. That's all I did. And so I signed my baby's life away to a stranger. And I had to take her down and I had to hold her down. And she was going, no, mummy, no, mummy, no, mummy, while they were putting her to sleep. After the 2 hours, the surgeon come up and he was like, we've got them all. I was like, oh, thank God. And they were like, and she's okay. They brought the magnets to us in a little pot. And they said, like, you know, they had to remove her intestines. We still struggle to this day. We really do with it. It's like really opened my eyes to the fact of the online platforms of just exactly what you can purchase.
You're listening to Behind the Headlines. Now, it's been called a landmark agreement, but it's also been described as a massive sellout. I am, of course, talking about the new deal that has been agreed between the UK and the EU. First up, let's hear from our political editor in Westminster, Georgie Padromou, who can tell us all of the finer details.
The Prime Minister hailing this a victory.
Britain is back on the world stage.
We'll be able to use e-gates at European airports. It'll be easier for pets to travel and for food and drink to be exported and imported too.
It gives us unprecedented access to the EU market, the best of any country outside of the EU or EFTA. Not rejoining the single market, the customs union, and no return to freedom of movement.
But there are concerns about EU boats having access to UK waters for fishing until 2038. The Tories call this a surrender deal that's taken us backwards. We're also waiting to hear more about a youth mobility scheme for young people travelling between countries.
Thanks, Georgie. Well, let's hear how this is going to impact Northern Ireland now. Our reporter there, James Gould, has been getting the reaction at Stormont.
5 years after Brexit kicked in, and Sir Keir Starmer says it's time to move on from political fights about it. First Minister Michelle O'Neill says the devil is in the detail, but made clear her thoughts on how we got to this point.
We were dragged out of Europe against our wishes. There was nothing good to come from Brexit, and all of this reset comes as a direct result of trying to repair a lot of damage that has been done. First thing I would say is that I welcome the fact that there is a reset. I welcome an improved relationship.
DUP leader Gavin Robinson said he has already heard concerns with the deal and will study it in detail.
And last, but by no means least, let's get the Scottish perspective on this story. Alan Smith is our political editor in Scotland and has been getting reaction north of the border.
Well, the big talking point here is fish.
Can't believe that the government have traded away 12 years of access to our waters for basically nothing in return.
That's Elspeth MacDonald, who's the chief executive of the Scottish Fishermen's Federation, which is branding the deal disastrous. Others are calling it an utter betrayal, and this is why.
The EU is taking a hugely disproportionate share of the fish from our waters, that far more than they should be entitled to. As we understand it, they haven't paid for this access deal with another tail of fish to the UK. So it's a great deal for them, a really bad deal for us.
Now, as the final details were being agreed earlier, I spoke with First Minister John Swinney, who was holding nothing back.
Once again, the fishing industry looks as if it's been surrendered by the United Kingdom government. This is an agreement about a devolved responsibility, and the Scottish government's had absolutely no involvement in these negotiations.
I'm disappointed that the First Minister is using the same language as Nigel Farage and the Tories on this, and I'm surprised that he's invoking the miserableness of I am Jolly. This is great news for Scotland.
Scottish Secretary Ian Murray responding there, but it's not all been negative. Scottish Salmon, which represents the UK's largest food export, is welcoming the deal. It believes it will cut the time it takes to get products into the EU markets. And the Scottish Chambers of Commerce, which represents 12,000 businesses, says the deal will help reduce costs, cut red tape, and make it easier for Scottish businesses to compete and grow across European markets.
A village in Oxfordshire is continuing to mourn today following a massive fire which killed three people and hospitalised another two. Tributes are being made to firefighters Jenny Logan and Martin Sadler, as well as local business owner David Chester. This blaze at a site in Bicester began last Thursday. Our reporter Callum McIntyre has spent the day there and joins me now. Callum, have we heard from any of the families affected?
Yeah, we have. David Chester's family released a statement calling him a hero and the most amazing person we will ever know. They say he saw firefighters needing assistance and helped them without hesitation. He was not a victim, but a hero as he died the way he lived, helping others and putting them ahead of himself.
And what's it been like there today?
Well, it's a very somber mood of reflection as I'm stood at Garth Park, where a book of condolence has opened and a steady stream of people have been coming all day to pay their respects. Just in front of me, the fountain is surrounded by flowers, candles and messages, with one reading, "Your bravery and commitment to your communities will never be forgotten."
And Callum, what's the latest on the investigation there?
I was at Bicester Motion earlier this morning and there's still a large police presence while an unexplained death investigation continues. It's not being treated as a criminal investigation and we're yet to find out the cause of the fire.
OK, thanks Callum. It was a massive sporting weekend just gone, with not only the Women's FA Cup final but also the Men's, and we said goodbye to a legendary location in Liverpool, Goodison Park. As you'd expect, we had reporters everywhere, so let's get a roundup of what happened across the UK. First, let's start in Wembley, where Sandy Baltimore scored twice and set up the other as Chelsea beat Manchester United 3-0 in the Women's FA Cup final. The France international broke the deadlock from the penalty spot at the end of the first half before the Londoners struck twice late on.
The winners of the Adobe Women's FA Cup, Chelsea!
So what does it mean for you to see Chelsea win today?
It's amazing. They absolutely deserve everything they've won. They're a brilliant team.
It means a lot to Chelsea fans.
Very exciting. It's been a really good day and they deserve it.
Next season, quadruple.
It completes an unbeaten domestic season in boss Sonia Bonpasta's first season in charge. And celebrations continued at Wembley, where Crystal Palace won the Men's FA Cup, this being the first time the club's ever won the trophy. It finished 1-0 after 90 minutes, as senior reporter Tom Claiborne was there for us.
You know it's true, we're red and blue.
It's a trip to the home of English football that will live long in the memory for over 40,000 Eagles.
We won the game. It doesn't matter how we won it, but we won it. So I'm over the moon.
This was the best team we had to give us the best chance of winning this, and they've done us proud. I'm chuffed. I'm really chuffed. It's been a long time.
Eberechi Eze's goal less than 20 minutes in was enough for Oliver Glasner's men to put themselves into the history books. These fans told me the hour-plus trip across the capital will live with them forever.
Can't believe they've won. Very good defending. Yeah, not lucky.
They squeezed the life out of Man City and then they won the game. We're going to be dining off this for the next 30 years.
Palace face Wolves on Tuesday, with them looking to round off the season with a top 10 finish.
Moving north a bit now, and we also say goodbye to an iconic location in Liverpool this weekend. Everton boss David Moyes is hoping moving into their new stadium at Bramley Moor Dock will signal the start of a successful new era for the club. They said cheerio to Goodison yesterday, their home since 1892, in a 2-0 victory over Southampton in the Premier League. Our chief reporter Adam Smith was there.
There was commotion, celebration, emotion.
I've got a tear in my eye now. 40 years now for us.
Quite sad. The club's been in my family since the 50s. It means everything.
Boss David Moyes says it was a fitting end to the men's 133 years there.
I'm pleased for the result. We played better, but we got the goals when we needed to.
The scenes outside the stadium were incredible. It felt like a club which is needing some big days, some big things in the future. Let's hope this is the start of it.
Well, after the game, 70 Everton legends joined Gethin Jones and Tony Bellew on the pitch for live music and big screen highlights.
And it wasn't just football this weekend. Thousands of runners were also out in the sunshine raising money for good causes in the Great Manchester Run, like our very own senior reporter there, Olivia Davies.
It's now time for the rest of us taking on the 10K itself. It's been a gorgeous day so far. The outpouring of love already from the sidelines is just something else, and it will definitely keep me going when I need it. Manchester's roads are full of runners right now.
I went to school with a lad who died while on holiday, so I'm just running for him today.
I'm raising money for cancer research in memory of my dad, who passed away 4 years ago, so I've been raising money for him. So.
I never want to do it, but she makes me do it, and we have FOMO, so we all have to do it.
What a feeling that was. I can't even put it into words. I'm so emotional. It really is the atmosphere that gets you past that finish line at the end. Children handing out sweets, strangers giving you a high five. It's such a magical feeling. The sun didn't shy away, but 35,000 runners crossed that finish line, either for themselves or for a charity close to their hearts.
Well, for more on these stories, head to the news pages of our website or check out our social media channels, and be sure to come back again tomorrow when we continue to take you behind the headlines.